It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Grant and Danny on the Fan in Philadelphia. Thanks to our buddies Condori and Murad. That law firm is the exclusive sponsor of this show, and they like sending us on the road to watch football out and about. We were in Cincinnati, now we're in Philly. We'll be kicking it with those guys tonight. I called them earlier. They were on their way up 95. We will be seeing them at the hotel, and then we are headed over to the game with them this evening. They want to take care of you like they take care of us. They want to help you upgrade your last will and testament, set up a revocable trust for you and your family, schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you, get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com.
Those guys are fantastic. Pumped to see them tonight as we brave the cold here in Philadelphia. Just as a quick side, we're at the Bayou Bar in North Philly, and I am pwning a cheesesteak, and it's fantastic. This place rules. This is the vibe, right? Like, if you're thinking about, I want my local bar, this is your local bar.
How did you do the cheesesteak? It looks like the cheese is in the meat. You're not doing the terrible cheese whiz thing?
Well, again, it's not terrible. It's excellent.
But it's awful.
It's, again, tremendous. There's a reason they serve billions of them. I went provolone because that was the mood I was in, and that was recommended to me by the chef. So what we shouldn't do is substitute things because that's what children do.
Grown-ups, I would do provolone as well.
Grown-ups go places and get it how they make it there, right? Because otherwise, you should probably just stay at home.
I'm considering getting that.
You should do that. They're really good.
I came in planning on a burger. But that looks fantastic.
It's fantastic.
It's kind of like a burger. It's just turned sideways.
It's turned sideways and chopped up.
It's like a guitar, and now it's like cello.
Hello, cello.
Jack Black in, what was the movie where he turns the guitar sideways? School of Rock.
School of Rock.
We're looking for School.
Let's rock.
Commanders, Eagles tonight from the Link. We are jacked up to talk to Hugh Douglas right now to get you ready for the game. Let's go scout the opponent. Hugh, I told our listening audience that before we talk to you, I would just remind you of all the terrible things you did to Washington, D.C. in those 2 games a year and forgive you once and for all on behalf of our show for the things that you've done to this organization over the years on the football field.
Forgive me? What you mean? Y'all need to be apologizing, man. Chris Samuels was a whole beast over there playing offensive linemen, so y'all owe me an apology. What you talking about?
Well, your career-high year of 15 sacks, I think I remember this right. I think 13.5 were against Washington. Does that sound right to you?
Nah, man. Listen, you know what I remember about playing Washington? Every time we played you guys, it was always physical. Like, after you played that game, I remember feeling beat up. Like, those are some physical games, man. No question about it.
Chris Samuels was such a stud.
Really good.
What a player.
Man, he was a monster. He was a monster.
Our buddy, Hugh Douglas, now he's our friend. He's in the media, so he's one of us.
Yeah.
He wasn't our buddy when he was playing for the Eagles, though.
Mean for so long. Yeah.
Part of the midday show, 94 WIP, joining us here on Grant and Danny. All right, so let's get into tonight. It is a massive game. We've been waiting for this one for weeks. Feels like a collision course. First place on the line. I saw a poll you guys did as a show where you were asking people, are they confident or are they nervous? And I got to say, it seems like Eagles fans are very, very confident about tonight.
Yeah, they're confident, but at the same time, a little nervous. I'm confident because, like, I'm pretty sure you know this, and I'm pretty sure you're probably not dealing with the same thing, but we haven't really played opponents. We've only played a few opponents that have had winning records. So when I say I'm confident in knowing that when we play you guys, whatever the outcome is, we played a good football team. Because I think my co-host caught it before the season started. He thought you guys were going to be a good football team. He thought Jaden Daniels was going to be a special quarterback. And it turns out he was right. He looks like he's the real deal, man. And I know you guys down there in Washington, you haven't had a quarterback of that caliber in a long, long time.
So just outside looking in, what do you make of that? He'll go into that. What do you think makes him special? What have you seen? And what challenges does he present for this defense tonight?
You know what's funny? The first thing that I noticed, because I haven't seen a whole lot of Commanders games, but the first thing that I noticed is that it looks like he's making decisions very, very quickly. And a lot of times when you have young rookie quarterbacks, they don't really process the information that fast. And it just looks like the ball's coming out crisp. It looks like he knows what he's doing. Every time he throws the football, he drops back. And it's not a whole lot of time that passes before he finds the open receiver. And that's something that if he does that well, and the more he plays, the better he's going to be. And I think that has been the case. But that was the biggest thing that stuck out to me. All the other athletic ability, he has that. He can pull the ball down and run it. But the fact that he got the ball out of his hands quick, that's what I was surprised about.
When you played young quarterbacks, certainly rookies, but just guys that you thought were rattleable, if you will, how did you play them differently?
Rattleable.
Did you play? Yeah, I like that word. I make up words all the time, so I'm at to steal that one.
We're in lockstep there.
Yes. The one thing that you like to do against young quarterbacks, man, you always want to try to confuse them. You want to try to make them see one thing, and especially when you talk about coverages, and then it's something totally different. You change it on the fly. Doesn't look like he's having that problem. I think the toughest game that he played was the one that he played last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers, where he didn't decide, but even you played that one tough. So it looks like he has that part of his game down that, you know, you're not showing him a whole lot of looks that he hasn't seen yet. I mean, that remains to be seen, but that's the one thing that you try to do when you're playing against a young quarterback.
Hugh Douglas on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. And I ask you that because that was the point I was going to make, is he has not been phased by seemingly anything in terms of disguising coverages. He just doesn't put balls in harm's way, doesn't give the defense a chance to get their hands on it, and he generally gets the ball out. But I'm wondering if there maybe is a blueprint. We've been trying to figure out, was the Steelers' plan any different than anybody else's, or were they just better at executing it because they're so good defensively?
I think when you look at the Steelers, the one thing that they try to do is get a lot of heat on him, get heat on the quarterback, try to make him hold the ball as long as possible so that pass rush can get there. I think that's probably going to be the key. Try to disguise it in the secondary as much as you can. And the one thing that I know about the Steelers secondary, they have a really good front four. They get after the quarterback with T.J. Watt up there and everything. So that was one of the things that I saw that probably was working in their favor a little bit.
Hugh Douglas with us. 8.5 career sacks against Washington, more than he had against any other opponent, joins us here to break down the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, let's get into this Eagles team. I feel like when I looked at the schedule before the season, Hugh, I went, oh, bad luck for the Eagles in early bye week. I think that kind of turned out to be the best thing that could have happened to them. Not that you would know that in advance, but since the bye, this feels like it's a different team.
Man, listen, no, I think it's that coupled with what I like to call Coach Sirianni's Britney Spears moment, where he cut his hair off and, you know, he started yelling at the fans, and then this team went on a tear. I think this team is rallying around their coach, man. You know, he was under fire for the last couple of weeks because a lot of people felt like he was incompetent and he was in the way. I think that his squad looked at that and they realized that his coach was under fire. So they rallied around him, man, and they've been playing well. Whatever Coach Sirianni has been doing and has done to get this team on the right track is working, man, and I'm all for it.
So is he liked by the players on the outside? The narrative we seem to have heard is it doesn't seem like him and Hurts are always on the same page. Maybe there's some friction there. Is he popular in that locker room?
From what the guys that I've talked to, he is. He is. And it's a weird thing, right, because I heard the same things you heard, that, you know, outside of that locker room, people consider Coach Sirianni a bubblehead. But in that locker room, they love him to death, man. And it's obvious by the way that they're playing. They're playing much better. They're playing so much better, and they're rallying around him. So I'm in the camp to think that the guys really do like Coach Sirianni.
All right. On this offense, as, again, kind of thinking from the bye week on, Jalen Hurts has been so good. Kind of looks like that MVP candidate itself of a couple years ago when Philly got to the Super Bowl. What's clicking, what's working, and where might they be vulnerable, if at all?
You know what? I think what's working is the fact that Saquon Barkley has been – so much more than he ever was when he was in New York. I think that has helped out Jalen tremendously. I think with any quarterback, when you talk about a good quarterback, it is mostly coupled with a good running game. I think if you want to try to attack the Eagles, you probably want to start there because he's been the tip of the spear for the last couple of weeks with the running game. But the problem with that is you still have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. these are two guys that, you know, a few years ago, you know, Devontae, he can play. And AJ, you know him personally because he's kind of lit it up against you guys over the last couple of years that he's been here.
Yes.
So it's one of those situations where if you're the Commanders, I would think that in order to stop them, you have to stop the run first. Because if you've noticed over the last couple of weeks, when the Eagles tend to bog down a little bit offensively, they tend to turn to the running game to get them out of a rut, so to speak, and then they come back to the passing game. So if I was attacking the Eagles, that's probably where I would start. I would try to stop the running game first and then, you know, get after them in the passing game.
Saquon Barkley, by the way, just to back up Hugh's point there with some numbers, second in the NFL in rushing yards, 991. Second in the NFL right now in scrimmage yards, 1149. And against Washington, he has played nine games. This is game number 10 for him. He's got more scrimmage yards, 1164, more touchdowns than he has against any other opponent. When he was with the Giants, he feasted on the Commanders. So hopefully that changes this evening. Hugh Douglas is with us on Grant and Danny. What about on the other side of the ball defensively? They are the number one scoring and yardage defense in the NFL since the bye in five games. I'm giving them their flowers, but I also have to acknowledge, Hugh, that they have not played anybody other than the Bengals. The quarterbacks that they've played are like benchable Jags. I mean, they're bad.
like I like to say, we played a bunch of tomato cans. But at the end of the day, you got it. Like, they're all NFL teams, but it feels like.
But is their defense actually good? Like, it seems like they're awesome, but how good are they?
Well, we're going to find out tonight because I feel like playing against this offense that you guys have down there with Terry McLaurin and that young quarterback that you have, that this is going to be a good measuring stick for him, because you talk about a quarterback that, like, when you talk about stylistically, they haven't seen anything like this. Like, Jalen would probably be the closest comp, but I don't even think that's a fair comp. I think the fairest comp, when you think about what he's able to do, he's Michael Vick when he was here with Andy Reid. You know, he can beat you with his legs and he can throw the football. So I think, you know, we're going to get a good test this week. And to your point, I basically said the same thing about this defense. But unfortunately, in NFL, you got to play who you play. And it looks like Vic Fangio, Coach Fangio, the defensive coordinator, has got the personnel on the field that he feels gives them the best opportunity to win. I feel like they've gotten comfortable in the defenses that he's calling, and he's gotten comfortable in knowing that the guys that he has on the field can go out and kind of execute his game plan. So it's twofold. The coach is doing his coach is much better, and the defense is buying into what he's selling.
Hugh Douglas with us here on Grant and Danny. So, Hugh, let's jump into a little further down on this defense. Like, I think if there were vulnerabilities, I don't think Cleveland or the Giants or Dallas last week without Dak could take advantage of those things. But to your point, Washington is a better offense. If there are vulnerabilities, something that maybe hasn't been exposed yet, but maybe a good offense could, where are those for Philadelphia on defense?
I would probably say in the secondary. I would say probably the secondary first, because you got Cooper DeJean back there and Quinyon Mitchell, and they've been playing extremely well. And, you know, I would say they've played against some good receivers, but again, Terry McLaurin's a different animal. CeeDee Lamb last week, when you talk about him, he was a little banged up, you know, and you talk about the Cooper Rush, the quarterback. So, you know, you're talking about two guys back there before the Dallas Cowboys that really couldn't connect. I think a smaller sampling size would be when you saw them play against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin when they were healthy. So if I was trying and on the flip side of that, Cooper DeJean wasn't out there. So on the flip side of that, I think that's where I would probably try to test them to see how those young quarters stand up against some pretty good receivers and a good quarterback.
Yeah, watching him, DeJean looks really good in the slot, playing the nickel.
Yeah.
He's a rookie from Iowa they drafted. Obviously, Quinyon Mitchell, for our listeners that don't know, was a rookie they drafted out of Toledo. He's been outstanding out on the boundary. But to your point, I mean, he hadn't faced a whole lot of guys like McLaurin, who's top five in the NFL. I think he's third right now in receiving yards. And you don't get to play a lot of McLaurins at Toledo. You don't have a McLaurin on Duquesne or UMass. So tonight should be telling in that regard as well. If Washington wins the game, let's just say you're doing the show tomorrow morning with your crew and the Eagles lost, what do you think happened?
Oh, the sky's going to be falling. You know, it's Philadelphia. The sky's going to fall. And then I'm going to have to break out, you know, the couch, and I'm going to have to calm everybody down and let them know that we're going to see the Commanders again. We're going to see them again, and there's going to be a chance for us to, you know, to make this right. But you know how it is in Philadelphia. This is going to be the toughest matchup by far that we've had over this winning streak that we've been on. So if it comes out and the Commanders wins this game, yes, Eagle fans are going to be totally upset. And you know what? We're going to have a couple days to stew on it. And Monday, I'm going to sit everybody down. We're going to talk about this. We're going to have a therapy session. And we're going to get right and get ready for the next one. But to be honest, fellas, I don't think that's going to happen.
Give us your prediction.
Man, I think it's going to be a good game, but I think the Eagles come out on top. I know as well as this young quarterback that you have has been playing, I think when you talk about from a pure talent perspective, we're way too talented offensively for you guys, man. We're going to rush out all over you guys down there up here in Philadelphia. We're going to beat the brakes off of y'all tonight.
Unless you don't.
No, you know, I'm talking trash because I ain't got to play, so it don't make no
sense. I know. Hey, and we can never play, Hugh, so it works out great.
We don't have much of a rebuttal. No. You guys have worn the pants.
I'm just up here trash talking. What I say carries no weight. But seriously, guys, all jokes aside, I think this is going to be a good game. This is going to be one of those games that, you know, you got two young quarterbacks playing. You got one established star that's having a really good season, and you got a young up-and-coming star. Man, I would not be surprised if this is a close game, to be totally honest. All jokes aside, this is probably going to be a close game.
Yeah, I think we're picking. You know, we haven't given our predictions, but I think we're both, just based on the tone of the week, I would guess probably leaning Philly in a tight game. But look at the line. I mean, it says as much. I think it's been 3.5 points pretty much all week long. So,
yeah, man, this is going to be a good game. I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see what his defense is. I'm excited to see this young quarterback play. I'm excited to see all of it.
5 hours away, man. Can't get here soon enough. Hugh, you were awesome. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, fellas.
Yeah, you got it. Be good. There's Hugh Douglas, former Eagle, Falcon. He's been on the radio in Atlanta and Philly for years. Great having him on the show.
You get 80 sacks in the league, including 30 in the NFC East and a whole bunch against Washington, you wouldn't shut me up. I'll tell you that right now. Like, talk your talk, buddy.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. You heard what he said there. He thinks that there's too much weaponry for the Eagles, for Washington to bow up defensively. Do we agree with that? Let's get into that next on Grant and Danny. We are 5 hours from kickoff. We're in Philly at the Bayou Bar and Grill. If you're in the area, come on by and say hello. We are on the road on G&D ahead of Thursday Night Football on the Fan.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Back live from the Bayou Bar and Grill, we're Grant and Danny. We are in Philadelphia with our friends Kondori and Murad out and about and on the road. The Commanders are good. That's awesome. We're happy about that. We're going to see them in person for the second time this season away from home. I was thinking about this today, by the way. One of the reasons that you swore off going to Northwest Stadium was how much you hated being surrounded by opposing fans, and you just didn't want to feel that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you've gone to Cincinnati and to Philadelphia this year. I think we're starting to chip away just a little bit.
I appreciate you saying that when we're not, and here's why. It's the indignity of at my home stadium.
Okay.
The thing that I've signed up for, that I paid money for, and there were no, at the time, Redskins fans around me except for my buddy and I who went to the game together, and there was a row of how many seats per row in a section? Is it like 20?
25.
22, 25? Yeah. 25 in front. Dallas, 12 to one side Dallas, 12 to the other side Dallas, 25 Dallas behind me, screaming at me the whole time. So I'll never go again, voluntarily. If I have to go for work, I'm not going to make up a federal case out of it. I'll do what I'm supposed to do. I have no interest in going. I don't want tickets. I'll never go to that stupid stadium again. It's a failure. But there's
so
a difference.
So is the difference between a share and a pre-share almost?
Kind of, yeah. It's like this is a, hey, fun road trip with the buddies. That's cool. I've gone to New Orleans, had a great time watching Drew Brees set 7,000 records on the first possession. Alex Smith almost got Adrian Peterson killed. I had a great time. Ate all the food. Had digestive issues because I ate, I think it was four adult, it was 16 servings of that pie. What was that pie that
that
ate a bunch of?
Bread pudding.
Bread pudding, thank you, yeah. I ate 16 adult servings of bread pudding in the form of four bread puddings.
They still talk about that in New Orleans.
Yeah, it's
we're going back next month.
It's legendary
to a degree. 1 month from today, I think.
How about that?
We'll be in New Orleans.
Anyway, I lost my train of thought. But the point is, yeah, there's a tremendous difference to me between just sitting there watching a football game on the road, understanding. Like, it'd be different if there was 100 of my friends and some poor guy who didn't have any money bought a ticket for his home team, and they were so much worse than you thought, the league joke, 2 weeks after the swinging gate, and everyone's screaming at you the whole time. Like,
right.
If I was one of the screamers at this poor person, I go, yeah, I don't blame you if you never want to come here again.
We'll be screamed at all night tonight, but I understand your point. It's the share versus the pre-share.
Yes.
You're opting into going to a better stadium, a better environment, experiencing all there is to experience in Philly,
mm-hmm.
leading up to it after the game, coming back with some fun stories to tell, and then just going to the home game where that happened anyway.
Yeah. So I need it at the home stadium where my team is supposed to be at home. It's not a road game. A road game, you understand what you're opting in for. The home game, I've been double-crossed. I won't have that again. That'll never happen to me again. I'm not doing it.
Atmosphere's getting better. I'm just saying, whereas at one point in time, I would have written in Sharpie, you will never see Danny Ruye at Northwest Stadium again. I'm no longer writing it in Sharpie.
Wow, I would. That's a terrible bet by you.
I'm just writing it in pen. It is still in pen. And I'm underlining it.
Yeah, and then circle it,
draw
arrows.
To pen and underline, and then pen without underline, and then really firm pencil, like hard enough that you tear the paper a little bit. And so we're moving in the right direction.
If I was a tattoo guy, I could get that tattooed. Like, I'm not going to voluntarily go.
Then would you spill coffee on yourself?
Like, yeah, not a great tattoo. Yeah, then I'd be inconsiderate when I spill coffee on people. I would mutter an apology like this. Oh, my bad. You spilled coffee on me! The hot coffee's on me!
Tomorrow, Danny,
mm-hmm.
we will be out and about again.
Third.
This time.
Hill Brewing.
Back in the DMV.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a live show, our Friday field trip. So all season long, these Friday field trips have been ramp-ups to games. This is the only time this year where we will be doing a post-game show for our Friday field trip from Third Hill Brewing.
Yep.
Please, oh, please, oh, please, boys, help us to do a post-game winning show when the Washington Commanders are back in first place.
Wouldn't it be nice?
That would be cool. One way or the other, though. Come on out. We'll make you feel better if they lose, and we will celebrate if they win. Third Hill Brewing Company, as Danny said, Georgia Avenue, Silver Spring, Maryland. We're live from 2 to 6:30 tomorrow in the DMV. We're hopping on the train first thing in the morning, coming straight back, and I think going quite literally from the train station to the bar at this point.
Pretty much, yeah. It just depends on how much time we've got. It won't be a ton, but if all goes smoothly, you know, Maybe a quick change of clothes, maybe not. Maybe just go straight to Silver Spring.
If we look like we're still in our pajamas from the hotel, then we probably didn't get to change.
Then that's why, yeah.
I was just saying, though, you're planning on maybe doing like a change and a shower at the station. Your coffee, or like, don't bother me, I haven't had coffee yet, mm-hmm. is my hot shower and getting my day going. So I have to shower, I'll do my change of clothes, all that. Before we get on the train,
mm-hmm.
whereas you're like, yeah, but the train's gross and there's germs there, and I'll do all that when we get home at the station.
Yeah, I associate travel with griminess. You know what I mean?
Like, I guess I'll wash my hands
and
my face and feel fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't care if I'm sitting on a public seat or mm-hmm. whatever. I need the hot shower to be ready for my day 5 minutes after I woke up.
But it's different approaches. To me, I need my shower to be as close as I can to the thing that I'm doing, if it matters. You follow me? So, like, if I'm going to a public event or I'm going somewhere where I'm going to dress nicely, Like, if I have a nice dinner, for example, that I'm going out tonight, the reservation's at 7:30. If I've showered first thing in the morning, I go, I have a day's wear and tear of uncleanliness.
No, if I'm doing something important, nice, if I'm dressing up, if I'm going out and about to an event, it's a double shower day.
Yeah, you're going to do it. You do it again.
I mean, there's a lot of two shower days. My wife gets so mad. There's some three shower days.
Three.
Occasionally. Not a lot, but occasionally. Well,
so you wake up, you do a wake up shower. Then,
absolutely.
Then you're like your hit burner workout.
No,
shower,
because no, there's none of those.
Oh,
there's not a lot of working out.
No, you do the what is it called? The Dad Bod Blaster that you sent us?
Not that either. No. PSX.
PSX.
PSXLR90.
Yeah.
That's by my current
The one the Navy SEALs do. You do that one?
I only do the one the Navy SEALs do. The rest of the stuff is just for, you know,
that's
frankly,
the show, right?
It's beneath me.
Yeah.
But yeah, showers are fun. First thing in the morning to start your day. Superior to coffee. That's the way I feel. But we will see you in Silver Spring tomorrow, and I can't wait to be hanging with our listeners, hopefully after a win. Speaking of which, we are now well under 5 hours away from kickoff. So you just heard Hugh Douglas saying the reason for the confidence in Philly, and by the way, they are very confident.
Mm-hmm.
Eagles fans, saw a couple of them on the train coming up here, have, you know, on the Odyssey app, listening to IP the last couple of days, just seeing all the predictions of all of their media members on the websites that they write at. Everybody's picking an Eagles win, which for a 3.5-point spread in a division where you were chasing a team that you're playing tonight for the last 8 weeks, it does seem a little lopsided. Like, you'd think there would be more people going, hey, Washington's actually been wearing the pants in the East for most of this year. Hey, Washington's actually had the better offense, you know, for most of this season. But there's not a lot of that. And Hugh's point is there's no answer for the Eagles skill group on Washington's defensive huddle. And I actually think that makes sense.
Yep.
Because I look at this game and I go, who defends A.J. Brown? How do you make sure Devontae Smith doesn't get going? And how are they going to stop Saquon Barkley? And ideally, if you can answer all three of those, you're going to beat them handily. If you can answer two of those, you might be able to squeak out a win. If you can only answer one, you're probably in a little bit of trouble. I don't have an answer to any of the three. And that's where my nerves come from tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that's what whatever I do, I keep coming back to that part of it. I keep coming back to that's where the advantage is. That's where the issue is going to be and is for Washington tonight. They don't have an answer. With Marshawn Lattimore, they have something. They have a response. They could take something away. I don't think they can take anything away. I think they're just going to have to deal with gut punches, deal with some bleeding, deal with some problems, and then ultimately lose in a TKO. Like, I know I'm overusing boxing analogies, but that to me is how this whole thing peels out.
You're
that
30 seconds away from talking about Jake Paul and Mike Tyson.
The southpaws, and you move your feet in the ring there, Rock. No. It just it feels like when we were talking last week, would you take 1-1 sight unseen or take your chances? The biggest reason I said let me take 1-1 was because I hated this matchup. I just hate this matchup for Washington.
Yeah, I had the Steelers as the game they needed to win because of the same reason. This isn't a fun matchup on paper. But can I say that we're subscribing or prescribing a lot of effectiveness and dominance and just dynamic play to the Eagles offense as if they're some juggernaut. And they're good. They scored 37 on the Bengals. They scored 34 on the Cowboys. But it's not like they have not also had moments where they could be stopped. I know that earlier in the year when they were 2-2 before their bye, they didn't have A.J. Brown. They didn't have Devontae Smith. Jahan Dotson was their leading wide receiver. He was still not being targeted. Couldn't get any catches even at that point. But if you look at the last 5 weeks right now and these five wins, while they've been better, the Cleveland game is only a handful of weeks ago. And that was probably the last time they played a defense.
Yeah, that was sloppy. Sirianni's yelling at people.
They scored 20 points. They won by four. Sirianni's trolling fans after a bye week when they squeaked out a win over Deshaun Watson, who stinks. I mean, are we sure that this is the 99 Rams on offense? I know that it's a bad matchup. They might drop a pass. They might miss a block.
You know, sure, of course.
Jalen Hurts might miss someone.
This
is not the number one offense in the NFL.
Well, they've scored 32 a game over their last four. And Washington's defense is a lot like the defenses that they played. Now, the offense is a different story. Washington, if they're winning, we both agree, and I don't want to speak for you, but I think if they win, they put up 30-some points. Right, this is a shootout win if they win this game. Now, of course, because it's Thursday, weird stuff happens. Maybe it's like 6-3 or something weird. But for the most part, on paper, when you look at this one, you go, if Washington wins, it's because their offense was transcendent and won the day. And the defense didn't kill them. And the special teams didn't kill them. And they did just enough to give that one extra possession, right? That one penalty-ridden drive where Philly had to punt, and then Washington gets a winning score. Like, that's your formula today. It's a tightrope to walk that you would say. So part of this is on paper. Yeah, I understand that, you know, Philadelphia's offense isn't perfect. That's not like this, as you said, this unstoppable juggernaut. But just in terms of who Washington is, what they have, and what they've been vulnerable against, if you made a list, every one of those attributes is in the personnel that Philadelphia has. And that's why I'm so scared.
Yeah, that's the problem. I want to play a little devil's advocate.
No, I'm not yelling at
you. I'm arguing with myself some, too. But they're number 10 in the league in offense. And I do get that post-bye week, they've been better in every area, including offensively. But this idea that, like, there's not going to be a single punt tonight, and we're never going to see Jake Elliott because they're never going to have to kick a field goal, and every time they touch the ball, they're just going to go get 7 points. I think we're building that up a little bit in our own heads. Benjamin St. Juste has defended passes this year. You know, like he has made tackles of guys in the open field.
3rd and 7, he's 1-on-1 with A.J. Brown. You feel good?
No, I don't. And that's coming.
And that's it, yeah.
But does Hurts miss a throw on one of those drives and they have to punt? Does A.J. Brown drop a pass at some point? That's possible. By the way, A.J. Brown has 3 100-yard games this season. He's played in 6 games. 3 times he hasn't. He had a 2-catch, 36-yard game a couple weeks ago against Jacksonville. It's not like every time – he's not Justin Jefferson, right? He looks like it when he plays Washington.
Yes.
But luckily, Emmanuel Forbes will not be on the field tonight. Remember that little matchup last year? That was a good time.
Really good idea, whoever thought of it.
That was the moment when I knew with Emmanuel Forbes, oh, boy, this will never work. It was at that moment that the narrator in my voice went – in my head, rather, that voice in your head goes – they got this wrong. This guy, not going to be able to do this at the highest level. 9 catches for 175 yards and 2 touchdowns.
It honestly felt like more than that.
More than 9 for 175
yeah.
and 2?
Like, not even joking.
It's pretty good.
Like, if you'd asked me, what did he do? And in my mind, it's grown now to 10 for 220 and 2 touchdowns.
Last year, second time he played Washington. Do you remember what he did, A.J. Brown?
I think it was like 125 yards.
Oh, you're close. 8 for 130 and 2 more touchdowns.
Uh-huh.
So in 2 games last year, just a casual 17 catches for 300 yards.
Oh, no.
And 4 touchdowns.
Oh, no.
But at least Devontae Smith, who is designed in a laboratory to give them fits, the type of receiver they cannot defend, the shifty, smaller, faster, twitchier, diminutive wideout that just torches them. At least they got him on the other side. And then there's Saquon Barkley, who has had some of the biggest games of his career against Washington. It is a tall order, but if they can make some stops and make some plays, then tomorrow's Joe Witt Day, right? Then tomorrow we're talking about Dan Quinn, and we're turning our hats backwards, and we're shaving goatees, and we're painting them white.
Yeah, we're Feisty Friday-ing or Tell the Truth Tuesday.
Brotherhood Friday,
yeah,
brother.
Like,
Darius, are you ready for Brotherhood Friday tomorrow?
Be where your feet are Thursdays.
If this defense bows up, this is Secret Sauce Friday on Grant and Danny.
Are we leading the league in nicknames for days?
Oh, of course. I mean, no 100%. One else would have one.
I don't think anyone has one.
I mean, other than kindergarten classes, nobody does that except the Commanders. So, yes, names for days, we're number one in that.
What was the Wednesday one? Was it Back to Work Wednesday?
Lackey Wednesday? No, that's
no, no. I think it was. It was like Back to Work. Like,
yeah.
It's not Whip 'em Out Wednesday, right? That's
no.
A radio.
It's not Walk Through Wednesday.
Yeah.
But it's something about going fast again. Because that was the whole point, is you ramp up and go fast.
Yeah. Wrap it up Wednesday.
No. It was.
Is it Back
up
to Work?
Up to Speed Thursday.
Back to the Grind Wednesday?
Back
no,
to the Future
it.
Friday. Mm. Something like that.
Taco
Grant
Tuesday.
Danny,
I know
on the
for
fan.
Sure.
We are at Bayou Bar and Grill in Philly. Got some listeners in burgundy and gold gear coming out, which we love. Check in with them and see how they're feeling about the game as we go. Logan Paulson's going to preview the matchup for us at 6 tonight. We're with you until 6:30. Game time coming up quickly here. We are about 4.5 hours away from an important NFC East game. You're listening to The Fan. Welcome back, Grant and Danny at the Bayou Bar and Grill in Philadelphia. We're getting ready for the Eagles and the Commanders tonight. We will take a look at some of the player props and go over and under in just a bit here on G&D, try to play out this game in our minds, how it's going to work out, look at game script. But it is time right now for our double play, what's going on in our lives, nothing to do with sports. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealer, stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. Danny, couple of quick reminders. We will be out and about tomorrow for our Friday field trip.
We are at Third Hill Brewing in Silver Spring, which is an awesome spot. I did stand up there years ago. Haven't been back since, but that is a really, really cool place. Kind of a little oasis in the heart of Silver Spring downtown. I love that spot, so we're pumped to go there tomorrow. 2 to 6:30.
We're fired up because we're out here in about 15, 20 minutes from the Lincoln Financial Field without traffic. When there's more traffic later, it's going to take us a little longer to get there. But a couple of our listeners have found us from the DMV area, listen to the show on the Odyssey app, and come by, said hello. But what's really funny is there's a guy named Steve who's sitting down with us now who just walked in. He had no idea we were going to be here. And he just sat down, and we went to break, you know, Grant and Danny on the Fan. And he gets up, he goes, no chance. This is not the, like, Grant and Danny from D.C., like, moves like Paulson back when I would call in the chat show. And I'm like, yeah, you had no idea we were going to be here. And this is the crazy part. This is why I wanted Steve on the show. He's lived here his whole life from Philadelphia. He's wearing a 76ers hat, which means he gets to watch Joel Embiid in like 8% of
once,
their games.
Once a week you get to see him, Steve.
Eight's that much, huh?
But I said, I'm like, so why do you know anything about D.C. radio? He's been a fan of the Redskins and Washington with all of its names his entire life, despite being from Philadelphia.
Wow.
And you explained to Danny the story because I thought this was fascinating.
Afternoon, guys, and your national radio audience. It's pretty simple. I went to school up here, and we did an exchange program with a school in D.C. by the name of Sidwell Friends.
My daughters go to Sidwell Friends.
Every time. Yes. It's pitch perfect at Obama.
Barack so Obama's good. Daughters went there. Yes. So that's my Obama impression.
Everybody's famous. I know.
Yeah.
Right away, right? Everybody up here didn't even know what the school was because we have a friend's school up here, Abington Friends. Shout out to my class of 1980. I did exchange programs, so they sent me down to D.C. to stay with this family that lived in Georgetown. And my first live football game, get out the history books, was a 1972 NFC Championship game.
Can you believe that?
Wow.
Redskins 26, Dallas 3.
How old were you?
11.
I mean, you're 11.
Hooked.
You're
I'm
like,
11.
I'll go to a game. Son, it's the NFC Championship game.
You know, so I call my parents back, you know, when you call collect, wait for the operator and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I'm staying in this beautiful brownstone, which here were row homes because they started to cost $2 million. And they took me to my first game. It was Mr. and Mrs. Matthew Fry. I remember their name to this day.
Wow.
And I have
they had
been.
Tickets to the NFC title game.
They had season tickets. They lived in Georgetown. They have season tickets to everything.
If they'd like to go, they can go.
Exactly.
If the Fries would like to be there, they'll make it.
They're exactly. Like, you can come with us.
Exactly.
Wow.
And I've been a fan ever since.
So what do you remember? I mean, obviously that game, we could look up the box score or whatever. What do you remember about that experience? Because here you are now in 2024 after all of these awful seasons in Philadelphia surrounded by Eagles fans. And you are still a fan of this football team.
I am. I'm older than the scotch I drink. So that's, you know, that lets you know how long I have been around.
That's a good line.
And the memories were that teams were different then. We were much more colloquial, tell university word there. Much smaller, much close-knit. So no matter where you were from, you walk into the parking lot, you know, hail to the Redskins or whatever, and you could have been from Bethesda or Buffalo or whatever, but what made the team iconic was winning. It's not the name. It's winning. If we were a bad organization, nobody would care what we're called. Nobody would care about the band and the cup. None of that. Winning makes the name, not the other way around.
Yeah.
And that was the difference between being a fan of that team versus being a fan of the new teams that we bring in now. They got to have 14 uniforms and 16 mascots just to get you to notice them.
Mm.
Winning get you to now. I like you see, I'm wearing a Sixers hat here, right? Buying a ticket to Seattle and Iverson once or twice, you can do that once or twice. But to keep you coming back, you have to win. Nobody's going to pay $180 to watch Iverson score 39 points and they lose 118 to 80. That's not how it works. But the new fan wants all the gimmicks. Us old school guys just want to win.
Did you ever think about at any point, because even being in the DMV, it's been so hard. Like here in Philly, there was no point where you said, this isn't worth it to me anymore. I'm just not going to keep rooting for this team.
Well, that's happened here. A good friend of mine who grew up here by the name of Phil Walker was on your 1978 Washington Bullets championship team.
Ooh, okay.
His only year in the NBA, he wins the title. How about that for
pretty good.
That's not bad.
Right? And we're friends. We go to the same barbershop. I mean, we all sit around and talk about the same things. Like you said, the guys down there, they just – apathy is not what you want. I'd rather have you call talk radio and scream about my team than just not caring at all.
But for you, I mean, as a Redskins fan all those years, did you ever think about going, I'm out?
This ain't worth it anymore.
No, because we weren't wired that way. We were wired, the teams that I have, and I got different teams from different parts of the country, those are my teams. I got them when I was 10, and I have them now at 62. They didn't change because the guy got traded. You know, you didn't go run off and get a Shaq jersey, you know, or a Sidney Crosby jersey, or, you know. Or
definitely not
know.
A Sidney Crosby
jersey. Right. Not, we're not doing that.
The nerve.
Right, nobody.
Yes, we have a universal hate for those guys here in the orange and
black
nation.
We're bonding together. That's nice.
The organization, as they say in hockey. Yeah, that's not how we're wired. The latest internet poll doesn't tell me who to root for. Or the old man in the three or the arenas or whoever podcast. Those guys don't tell me that. But the younger ones, because they're so more into individual rather than team, well, there's a whole group of people, there's a whole generation of people who don't like LeBron and they can't tell you why. Some podcast says he sucks, so we don't like him.
So that's it.
That's it.
This is Steve, who's from Philly, born and raised. Been a fan of the Commanders, Redskins, his entire life. Told me why and has now told you guys, and I thought it was fascinating. So before we let you go, how are you feeling about 2024? I mean, this is new. This is different.
There's an old saying by a guy that in this town who none of us particularly care for. He always says, if you're scared, get a dog. You know what I'm talking about, right? I'm not scared. I think this is different. This is not... we're going to get to a game, and then Jalen's going to throw four picks, and this guy's going to fumble. This is a different combination of things, and it starts from the top, from the owner to the GM. These guys are like, listen, they're acting like they've been here before. How many times did they ask DQ, are you afraid of this game? He's like, no, we've been here before. We know what we're doing here. This is, we got to go out and play. We got to go out and execute, and then we're going to win, and if we win, we
on to Cincinnati.
So to speak.
Yeah.
And I like the way that that's the attitude you have to take if you want to be a champion. You have to act like this is something you're used to doing. You expect to succeed as opposed to waiting to fail. And well, that's the difference.
Yeah, it's a cultural thing. You can feel it. It even makes its way up to Philly.
1972.
For fans on an island. I love it.
Yep.
How about that? Awesome. Thank you for stopping through.
This is awesome.
Good to meet you, man.
We appreciate
I've had my 15 minutes of fame like Nick Foles. I could just go off into the sunset now.
That was your Super Bowl.
That was your Philly special right there.
You got your BDS, I think, is your nickname now, right? That's what they call Nick Foles. Thank you, Steve. We appreciate you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. This is awesome.
You got it. Grant and Danny on the fan. We are taking you up to 6:30 this evening. Logan Paulson's going to join the show at 6. We'll X and O with him. How can Washington move the ball on the best defense in the league over the last 5 weeks? This offense is pretty elite. They're going to give them a run for their money. We will dive into that as we continue on The Fan.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.